Run the track!
Welcome to Foster's Podcast.
Oh, no! Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the world-famous Foster the Podcast. This is the official show of stand-up comedian Justin Foster and professional life coach Christy Marie Royster. Every week, we bring to you the craziest stories, the best interviews, pop culture news, also dating and relationship advice. Brand new episodes every Monday, available on iTunes. Subscribe to us on iTunes, search for Foster the Podcast on there. Also, check out our website, fosterthepodcast.com, where you can download past episodes. You can email Christy and I and donate to the show. Also, for my stand-up tour dates, visit my website, justincomic.com. And now, enjoy this week's episode.
Katie likes a big black D.
What?
Oh, shit.
That's perfect. We're
That's
ready
it.
To go right
okay.
there. Yeah. there's not going to be a better intro than that.
Yeah.
Awesome.
That's actually
I
how we're...
I sincerely hope my dad has an RSS feed out on me.
That's how we're starting the podcast. Katie likes a big black D.
D as in delightful cupcake. She likes a big black delightful cupcake.
There you go. Welcome to Foster the Podcast. We appreciate you guys. Hey, thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. You're my co-host today.
Yes, I'm so excited.
Right. So the backstory about this that we've had this running joke on the podcast that we're gonna have the Duchess Riot. Christy gets a little overwhelmed sometimes when it's just dudes all the time talking about their dicks.
Hold up.
Yeah.
We had a running joke about Duchess Riot and we had no idea.
Yes.
I did.
Yes. I just found this out.
Yeah. So the for her, I was like, I'm going to have 3 to 4 of the members of this troupe come in just for you. And it's going to be an all-female show and you're going to love it. And she was so excited. And it was been a running joke that it just kept getting pushed back. In fact, last year at the end of the year, we asked our listeners to vote for their favorite episode of the year. And someone actually wrote in, they're like, I like the all-female improv episode. That never happened.
Never happened.
Right, never happened. So now we're finally making it happen. And Christy's out of town. So.
I know.
Oh, no.
Well, that's, I mean, every time I came on, I'd talk about it.
Right.
And then, like, we would have rehearsal, and I'd be like, yeah, do we want to do the podcast? And we'd try to figure it out, but we could never schedule it. I was like, if we do it on a Wednesday,
that's true.
We
and
can
hey,
get it done.
It's a Wednesday.
And now we're making it happen. No, Christy. She's on a train to Wisconsin.
Oh, God.
She's super depressed.
Why?
She's not here. She's she's terrified of flying. She can't fly.
Oh, poor thing.
Yeah, it's real bad. And so she takes
straight. Smile.
Yes, I think it's hilarious because I'm also terrified of flying, but I just do it. Right?
Yeah, because who wants to be on a fucking train?
Nobody. And she tries to sell it how great. I get my own cart and dinner. I'm like, yeah, but you're also on a train. You know what I mean?
Can I say something about Wisconsin?
You sure
That's
can.
That's really funny that Jeez. Happened today. So, and I will show you this.
We don't have a huge listener fan base over there.
I was sent a message on my Aaron Murawski page. So like my fan page, not my personal one.
Okay.
This guy says,
"Hi
Aaron, how are you?" This no punctuation. "Hi Aaron, how are you? Remember back in 2004, I went to Bean Snappers. Bean Snappers, for those of you who don't know, is a strip club in Wisconsin that I have been to in a cornfield. So this is really weird."
Bean Snappers is the name of the strip club?
Yes.
Okay.
That sounds disgusting and painful.
Oh, this it gets better.
I'm hungry though.
"And I seen you on stage. You looked at me. I smiled. And when you walked off stage, you tapped me on the shoulder. Then I got a lap dance from Summer. What? I was so mad and bummed because I wanted a lap dance from you instead. I thought you were the most beautiful dancer."
What the? Okay. Back it up. We're learning things.
Aaron Roski is our co-host today on Foster the Podcast, by the way. Okay.
And I replied, "You must have the wrong person. I've never been an exotic dancer." And he said, "Oh, sorry." And that was the
and
end
that
of
was it.
But I sent this to my, cause I did, the reason I was in Wisconsin is for, Air Venture, the huge convention of like planes and cars when I used to do my car shows.
Okay.
And we went to Wisconsin every year. And so we went, it's in the middle of a cornfield, a strip club, and we went and it was horrifying. Never went on stage, but I sent this to my auto show girls and they were like, "Does he mean Bazookies in Detroit? Because that's where you got on stage and got like pulled off by security."
Bazookies?
Bazookies. Yeah, I got on stage.
You hopped
and
on stage?
Yeah, I did, and I danced. I was real drunk.
Yeah.
And I got kicked out.
Yeah, they don't like that.
Right, yeah. But this is another place we went, which is super weird coincidence.
There's one of the classiest sounding places.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Bean snappers and bazookies.
Mm-hmm. Aaron parties. Here's the thing that, okay, a couple of things that stand out for that. Number one, it's weird that you've actually been there before.
Yes.
Because what are the odds that...
That I would know where a right. strip club is.
Second of all, who Facebooks a stripper that they didn't get a lap dance from? You know what I mean? Like, maybe if you guys had, like, a connection.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Also, where's Summer, that bitch that stole my lap dance? Yeah, like, right. I want to know.
Did he message... Was it one of those messages
also, how did he track you down?
It was probably in her other inbox this whole time. You know, the Facebook does that?
Yeah. No. That is popular right now, though.
Oh, my gosh.
Right. Like, I don't, if I were going to be a stripper, I would not go by Aaron Murawski.
Right, right.
Not
a
stripper
what
name.
What would be your stripper name?
Oh, man. I don't know. You guys tell me.
Scarlett Johansson.
Would that be her stripper name?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Mine would be Queen Laquifa.
I think you're right. Yeah.
That's actually a really good idea. Like, coming to the stage, Scarlett Johansson. Everyone's like, holy shit. Like, wait, what is she doing at Bean Snappers? Like, this isn't right. Well, who did you bring, introduce your friend? Who did you bring with us today?
A couple of the girls in my group, Duchess Riot, not my group, our group, Duchess Riot.
Yoko over here.
We're going to have a talk.
Yeah, I got.
By the way, I did ask her to bring her favorites. So just.
Yeah, we know.
Yeah, that's how we roll.
He actually did ask me. He's like, just bring your favorite. I'm like, do not do that.
Yeah. So welcome, favorites one and two. Appreciate you guys being here.
I feel a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
Me too.
Well, you're doing
well, you can see they're really bringing it, guys. No.
Yeah, there's 8 total members in the group, and there's 3 here right now.
Mm-hmm.
3 right here. I'm Katie Elsesser.
Hello, my name is Lauren Howard Hayes.
Disgusting.
I used to do pageants. Get off my ass.
That's so. Can we talk about that for a second?
Yes. Sure.
That is so fascinating to me. Where did you start? You're LA based, right? Born and raised?
Orange County.
Orange County. Mm-hmm. How did you get into pageantry?
So I was 17 and my mom just looked at me and she was like, you know what?
You're beautiful.
No, the opposite. You need to learn how to walk in high heels because you're probably not going to land a husband.
Really?
Oh.
Did she say that?
She's like, Lauren, you know, I think you need a little ... refinement.
Oh, Jesus.
I was kind of tomboyish, but I did cheer and all that. So, so she made me audition for Miss Garden Grove, and I did dance as my talent. And the executive director's all, yeah, no, can you do anything else? I actually do comedy. So then I started doing comedy for my talent, and I won Miss Garden Grove 2006 and Miss Placentia 2007. Yeah. What did you say, Katie?
Miss Placenta?
You won. Oh, I'm sitting. We have Miss Placenta on the podcast.
Yes. That's amazing. Yes.
I didn't know you were bringing me celebrities.
Yeah.
That's so fun. What was your, so you would do like jokes like in between looking pretty? Like how does that work?
Yeah. So you, these are
like
areas.
I'm beautiful and also funny.
No, you can't do them both at the same
you
time.
Can't be
she
both.
Would do it in between for sure.
I would do evening gown, swimsuit, interview, on stage question. And in between that would be talent. And I would come out after looking like a damn robot and do my crazy comedy bits that I wrote. I didn't really write them. I imitated Molly Shannon's Mary Catherine Gallagher.
Sure.
But I wrote my own monologues. I was the black sheep of the pageant world.
Right. Mm-hmm. You were like the bad girl of the pageant world.
I was.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was.
She always showed up in like leather jackets.
Yeah, right. Smoking cigarettes.
I don't need this, you guys. You need me.
You guys are a bunch of squares.
She's like the Rizzo of pageant
world. Getting knocked up.
So now your mom is definitely going to listen to this podcast and you just totally, totally.
Yeah, well,
so,
hey.
I just want you to know, Monty, that I love you. I'm sorry that.
Her mom pushed her into the direct. That's why I got into comedy. My parents like, you're going to need a little refinement. You work on your sense of humor.
Yeah, but she's not. It wasn't like JonBenet Ramsey. She was like, she was like 26 years old. No, she wasn't. You were like 19 or something, right?
18.
Okay.
So. I retired at 22.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I had enough.
That's got to be kind of crazy, though, man. Like, what's that world like?
I almost walked away with an eating disorder.
Sure.
That's almost kind of a
nearly
weird
missed.
Thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I got out alive. There were some really huge characters in there. One of them, let's just change her name to Donnie.
Sure.
Donnie would come up to you before swimsuit and be like, "Oh, your tummy looks so flat. I was expecting to look up and see something awful." Skips away.
Wow.
Yeah.
Look up and see something awful. Yeah. I want to know what that is.
Yeah, right.
Just Lauren's a big old bush.
Really tall.
Yeah. And Donnie was short.
Oh my gosh, that's so crazy.
But I will say it taught me how to have a wonderful interview. And it taught wonderful interview. Who said
there
that?
You go, there, right there.
Speaking skills. Yeah. It was a lot of fun, though. Just shocking old ladies who would donate to the pageant. This is where my money's going.
Right. Yeah. To comedy bits. Yeah. The bad girl.
That's right. You say bits. It reminds me of, like, all the things that comics hate when people call them that. Mm-hmm. Or, like, you know, because you weren't doing, like, stand-up.
No.
You were actually doing comedy bits. But then it's like, it reminds me of the thing my mom thinks that Mark does on stage.
Sketches.
Like, is he doing his little bits?
Yeah.
His little comedy skits?
My grandfather used to be like, "You got your speech ready for tonight?" I'm like, yeah, I think I got it.
Your speech. I do hate it as an improviser, just always getting like, "Well, tell me a joke." I don't do that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I didn't even think about that because you guys are in an improv troupe. So when you tell people that, people... Tell me. All right. I need a place.
Okay. I'll tell you a joke. Give me a character name.
Yeah.
One of the things I hate the most are like, "Oh, you do improv? Oh, I've been to the improv before."
Right.
Like, no, dude, no.
See, we get the opposite of that. I'm like, I do stand up. They're like, "Oh, cool. Yeah, we love improv." And they're thinking whose line is it anyways type of deal. Yeah.
Right, games. And
so no, basically no entertainer. It's easy
you
for
can't
no
win.
No. So how did you get from doing, so you did pageants and after, I don't know why I did the pageant hand
you
for some
did.
So you did pageants.
That was really good.
Thank
yeah.
you very much.
Your elbow is high.
Is it good?
Yeah. It's very good.
What, in your head, like what goes through your, when you're walking out there and you're like smiling and trying to look pretty, what's going through your head at that time? Are you like, "Don't screw up"? Or are you like, "Yo, screw these people"?
It's like, this is so unnatural.
Right.
When am I going to need this in real life?
Right. Yeah.
How to pose in a swimsuit. Oh, yeah. At Aaron's bachelorette party.
I was just going to say, you did it pretty well at my bachelorette party. Yeah.
Would you guys have a swimsuit thing for your?
Just a competition, yeah, amongst my friends. No. No, it was in Vegas, and so we were just, you know.
Oh, of course.
Drunk and in our bathing
suits. Okay, gotcha. You know. Yeah, she's at Planet Hollywood walking down, trying not to spill her Jaeger.
It was Mandalay Bay. It was classy.
Oh, sorry, I forgot you classy girl.
That's sitting on a throne, just like, nope,
yeah,
next.
Yeah,
nope.
Right, yeah.
No dinner for you, bitch.
So you decided you didn't want to do pageants anymore. How did you get into... actual improv comedy?
I went back to just focusing on my studies because my grades were shit.
Sure.
Yeah. They were shit. I was going to the gym like 3 hours a day but not going to class, and I was like, you know what, this is not being a good role model.
Mm-hmm.
So I just switched back into school, and then I graduated from Cal State Fullerton, and then I moved to Los Angeles and I enrolled in Second City.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yes.
What about you, Katie? How did you get
into comedy?
Yeah.
Family mental illness.
Right. Yeah. That's pretty standard. Yeah. Chronic depression.
I always did plays and stuff growing up, and I did a lot of community theater. And I was always cast as the male roles because they were funnier.
Okay. like an opposite of Shakespeare.
Yeah. Kind
of. Right.
Got it. Yeah. They would just be like, "Oh, well, Katie's funny and like awkward, so make her a boy. Put a hat on her."
Right. Put a hat.
I like that a hat does it. Yeah. Just
give her a tie.
I can't tell you. There was so many times I would come home and my dad would be like, "So what role did you get this time?" Like, he was like, "Is it a lesbian? Is it someone about to
just drinking his scotch?
Or is it just a guy?" Yeah.
Just so, what do you got this time?
Yeah, what is it this time?
I'm Romeo.
God
damn it.
Got, like, male leads. Yeah.
He's got to go to work and tell all the... for some reason, your dad does construction in my mind. And he's got to tell all the workers, "Geez, she got casted as Romeo again."
No, my dad worked in medical sales.
Oh, okay.
He was very, like, structured and didn't understand the whole, like, I don't know, he's an artist in his own right, but, like, he paints and stuff, but, like, the whole, like... I don't know, not knowing what your day is going to be scheduled as very different for him.
Right.
Yeah.
And so you decided to do comedy. How did you find them? How did you guys find each other?
Ooh, this is a good story.
This
is
a long story-ish. No, so settle in. From my perspective, I graduated college and I had done Groundlings when I was in college, but I was double majoring, so I decided I was going to go back and just finish my degrees. And when I got out of college, I was like, I need some kind of reputation, so I went into Shakespeare and got really bored really quick. So I went back into comedy, and then there was this audition for an improv group at Christmas time, and I went to the audition and only girls showed up. Mm-hmm. So that became a group called Jingle Girls, as run by the infamous Paul Storiale. He cast the girls because he was just like, well, we had girls, we'll just do that. And then from that group, he decided to take the Christmas show and like make it like a regular improv group. From that group was Lauren, myself, Suzanne Katsakis, Jen McGlone, Debbie Lockhart, and...
You don't need to know the names of the girls that are not in Dutch's Riot. Yeah, we don't care about that.
Say that for the Wikipedia page.
Shit. Yeah.
For former members.
Yeah, yeah. We don't care about them.
Scarlett Johansson. Queen Laquifa. Yes. Yeah, and so from that group, we kind of morphed, and we had a couple of changes, and then we had another round of auditions, and actually that's when we got Chelsea Crispin. And she had the most interesting audition.
I remember her telling me about it. Yes.
It was painful in all honesty. Well, because the director told her to do a monologue as a monkey, but like she couldn't use words or something. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why he told her to do that, but it was like a little bit uncomfortable.
Uh-huh.
But she fucking nailed it. Like she blew it out of the park, but it was just such an uncomfortable premise.
Why? Because she kept shitting in her hand and throwing it at him.
We were like, that's comedy. Yeah. So Chelsea came on, and then we needed a few more players. And so that's when we got Dion Kuroka, and then we got Aaron as our last piece.
I was the last one.
The leader was the last one?
I'm not the leader.
Isn't that weird that happens?
I didn't know that Aaron was the leader.
I am not the leader.
That's how she emailed. That's yes. Yeah, that's
no,
what.
You are so foolish.
That's what her fan page says. So.
Yeah, my fan page. No, it's funny because I remembered Chelsea saying that, telling me that story because I was not in the group. I hadn't obviously seen them yet because she wasn't in the group yet.
Right.
And she was like, God, I went to this fucking audition today. Like, yeah. And this guy like made me like, and you know, she was like, it was the weirdest. I've never done like solo improv where I had to be a monkey. Like she was like, it was so weird. And then, yeah, and it ended up being.
And there was like, there was also, she had to do like negative scenes too. Like she had to be like a bad improviser. He's like,
say no, but not yes. And, but I was like, after their auditions, well, they suck. I don't want them.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, it was just like a poor, it was a poor setup for their talent.
It was a terrible setup. I felt really bad for them.
Which is how you should always feel in comedy.
Right.
Bad for the performer.
Right. Yeah. I know. It's. I don't feel a show's a success unless somebody in the audience is like apologized for the situation that I'm performing in.
Yeah.
Go ahead. No.
Oh, I was going to say that was like when I was doing the audition, and it was between me and another girl, and he made it like so clear that it was between me and the other girl.
Oh, yeah.
We auditioned, and then we had to come back in and audition like with just me and the other girl with the group.
Uh-huh.
And like take turns too. Yeah. Right? So uncomfortable.
So he knew that one of you guys was going to make it, one of you guys was going to go home.
And
why not just add another? Was there a number limit for the group?
Well, you did want eight, I think, because I was the eighth one. And part of it was actually interesting because he did not want anyone's like he didn't want to make it a competition of other people bringing in their friends that were in the group. So Chelsea had told me about it and was like, hey, there's an audition on Breakdowns, just you know, like submit for the audition. So she didn't like tell him that we, you know, I kind of knew the girls just from going to see them perform, but we didn't want to tell them that I knew Chelsea. And so that Chelsea was my best friend. So I just went in and auditioned and it worked out. And
yeah, you know. And then we told the way we told Aaron that she made the team was we were at a show. I can't remember what the damn show was.
It was the 80s
show. The 80s show. We were all dressed in 80s attire. And then we're like, and our newest member of Dutch's Riot, Aaron Murawski, get up here and improv with us right now without warming up.
Yeah.
Oh, that was your first experience?
Yes. And this is, I mean, this is going to sound really, life is funny. I found out that day that my aunt passed away and I almost wasn't going to come to the show because I was just, I was devastated.
Right.
And Chelsea was like, okay, I don't know what to do. I want to tell, I wanted you to be surprised,
But like also now, if you're not going to come to the show, I want to tell you, she's like, we were going to tell you you were in the group. And so, but if you don't want to come, like, I understand why. And I was like, okay, I'll go. But like, it was actually great because it was like a nice escape when I got on stage. I was like, okay, just for a minute, I don't have to think about this. But yeah, but crazy.
Yeah. Paul Storyault, we love him. He's like a casting genius.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. He put us together.
He put this super group together.
He has a good eye for talent. Not talent. I wouldn't say that. We're not talented.
Yeah, we are. That's just
what? I'll edit that part out.
You guys, it's my pageant girl is coming out right now.
Because we have comedians on all the time, and we've kind of talked to you about this, but like, what is, because comedians have bad shows and bad situations and everything. What'd you say?
So good.
You guys now have your theater that you guys do once a month, and it's kind of on your own terms, and it's like everything's like run really well. But in the beginning, were you guys just put in like, what's a bad situation for an improv group? And do you have any experiences in that?
Schoolgirl show.
Yeah.
Oh, what's that?
Or Elf.
Yeah. Well, so Paul, you can tell the story, ladies, of like, Paul used to, when he directed the group, so once we changed into Duchess Riot, we ran ourselves. But before that, when we were group therapy, that was the name of our group, Paul was running us and he would do themed shows.
Okay.
So our most infamous show that we always talk about is the schoolgirl show.
Okay.
And we had to, we got way too into the theme. We went in schoolgirl outfits, tiny skirts.
Yeah. Well, some of us did. Some of us went with the awkward schoolgirl outfit with like baggy t-shirts and like
Katie's pants. Katie's still wearing a tie and hat.
Yeah.
Just wearing a hat. I'm like, I'm a boy, right?
Aaron and I wore the shortest skirts.
Yeah,
probably.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
I just remember Paul yelling at us from off stage. Like when we sucked, he would like yell at us that we were sucking off stage. And so we just like, there's nothing worse than having a terrible show and just knowing that your show sucks while also wearing a slutty schoolgirl outfit.
Oh my God, yes.
It was just the ultimate human. Like, here I am.
That was probably our last theme show, right?
I think so.
I think we were like, okay, that's it.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
I think we're like, jeans. If I'm going to suck, I want to be in jeans.
That's pretty bad. Because you guys do bad. You know you did bad. The audience knows you did bad. But now you got somebody else telling you how bad you did. And you've got like little mini skirts on.
It's not much.
That's brutal.
Not degrading enough.
Right. Because when a comic has a bad set, like just the audience doesn't laugh. And the other comics are like, ooh. You know, and that's kind of like the end of it. I couldn't imagine like somebody do like getting off stage after a bombing, be like, well, you really fucked up.
Yeah.
I love our audiences. Our audience are super giving and nice, but like when you come off stage and you're in a costume and you're like, thank you for coming.
you gotta shake hands with people afterwards.
Yeah. If they haven't been like, oh, I gotta move my car already.
And that, and we used to have less people in the audience than we had on stage when we first started out. Yeah.
Was entirely made up of my family.
Right.
Mom, my dad, my sister, and her bestie.
And that was it.
Yeah, there's a photo somewhere where it's just like four people in the audience and there's like eight of us on stage.
But now we sell out, so it works out.
Yeah, now the shows are great. The shows are I mean, I haven't been to the shows before, but the one I went to now they're great. Like I was there for the beginning, but like the one I went to, they're awesome. You guys are so funny.
Oh, thank you.
And it's so funny like watching like from a comedian, because like now when I watch stand up, I'm very like critical and I'm like, okay, like where is this joke going? What is the writing process? And they're like watching what y'all do. It's I can like take myself out of it and just like enjoy the moment and like actually laugh at comedy, which you know I don't laugh at comedy a lot anymore.
That's it.
Yeah, so it's nice to like when I go and see you guys perform because it's like you guys are so quick. You guys are so, and I know, and it's so exciting. Because my greatest fear, I think, is like freezing, right? Because you guys like, because you can see the look on your faces when you get a suggestion. You're like, God damn it. But you just like, all right, we're going to do that. And like, you had one last time I saw you where it was like politics.
And you're Bernie like, Sanders.
Bernie Sanders.
I was like, fuck.
Yeah, you're like, fuck, I don't know, but you just
one of my favorite, we used to do a game that was like, give us a mental illness or something like that.
Yeah.
Or no, give us a disorder. Uh-huh. Someone said mental illness. Mm-hmm. Like, just very bland, and we're like, oh, okay. Well, but then cool thing about it is that, like, I mean, we've got seven other girls that mm-hmm. have, yeah. like, are back. So mm-hmm. that's kind of the great thing about, like, if we go up and, like, don't know what the fuck to do.
Right.
Oh.
Like, at least we have, like, somebody else to, like, back us up and help us out.
Right.
Or, like, tap in. I feel like that's the scary part of stand-up, though, is that, like, yeah. you don't necessarily have another person to, like, come in and save your ass.
Right. Yeah, yeah. But, because I'm afraid, like, if I did improv and I was like, all right, I need a suggestion, somebody says that, I'd be like, nah, pass. Like, yeah. Like, let's reshuffle the deck.
Yeah, well, we get a lot of one thing that sometimes sucks, and we just, like, you know, because you can also choose to not hear people's suggestions.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
But people, because we're all women up there, just like, periods, tampon, blah, no. blah, blah. And I'm like, come on, you guys. Yeah. Like, you
that, really happens.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it does. And we never go down that road. We right. actually kind of pride ourselves that we don't go into stereotypical female right. topics yeah. like that.
Unless Craig is in the audience.
Yeah, unless my dad's in the audience at one show.
He's the one yelling, period.
Yeah, we were writing on a chalkboard, and the suggestion had a letter V in it. And uh-huh. my dad, bless his heart, he had like a Kettle One martini
sure.
at dinner sure. at Eclectic. And he was just like, make him look more like a vagina.
That's your dad?
That was my dad. My dad talks like that.
I love it, though.
Amazing, yeah. though. It was like one of my favorite quotes ever. And he's so embarrassed by it, too.
Good. So we'll put it on the podcast so it's yeah. in history forever.
Yeah. Can that be the title? Make it look like a vagina.
Make it look like a vagina. Absolutely.
I was going to say, I don't know where we are on our time for the podcast, but we have two new shows that we're doing this year that we're excited yeah. about.
What do you got?
Well, one of them, Katie and Lauren are producing. It's called Diet Riot, and I'll let them explain that.
Yeah, yeah. So we just started it this year. We've been doing improv for 5 years, and then we got into video shorts, and Katie and I were like, we really want to get into live sketches. So we put together a one-hour show. It's got live sketches, videos, and
sweet improv.
That's right. And yeah, it's just a place that Duchess Riot can now bring their characters more to life, because we all have recurring characters that are awesome, but you know, we want to repeat them.
Yeah, we wanted to repeat them, and we wanted them to be like with other characters that other members do. Mm-hmm. So it's a fun mishmash of very rapid fire type, like it goes sketch into video sketch right. into improv into this.
I love that stuff. Yeah, because yeah. it flows really well and it breaks mm-hmm. everything up. What's your favorite character? Who are your favorite characters to do?
I can say for the ladies, like I love whenever Erin does her mom. It's hilarious. I love when Lauren does a character called Sheldon McDougall. Right, mm-hmm. that's the stripper.
Oh yeah, yeah.
She does a male stripper. yeah, that's mine.
He works at the Rusty Elephant, and he likes to give lap dances to middle class ladies.
Yeah. I love Katie's Carol character. She can make her chin retract into her face in a way that's really beautiful and special.
Yeah. yep.
But I like it too, because they do a great job of also just doing like really topical, relevant sketches, uh-huh. Which we don't necessarily always get a chance to do in our shows, like do relevant, you know, stuff that's going on. And then yeah, we've been, so they started it, and then now we'll be like swapping out different duchesses. We'll be doing it.
Oh, red.
Yeah.
So it's going to be like a once a month thing?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Like a period.
Like a period.
Sorry, I had to do it.
Right after she just got finished saying, we pride ourselves on not going for jokes like that.
She had one Kettle Martini before the podcast.
Yeah, right? Yeah. and then the other show we're doing is called Riot Rewind, where you're going to be one of our
people. Okay, yeah, that's what we're doing today.
Yeah,
I like how rehearsal. I just said, yeah, I have no idea what I'm doing today.
Yeah,
I was
no,
that's cool.
It is. We're working through it right now, and the first one will be in May.
Okay,
and then
cool.
We'll do that once a month, but it's basically like.
I just yes-anded it.
Yeah, exactly.
You.
There you
thank
go.
Thank you very much.
Will just people get a chance to do over a moment in their life where they feel like they took a fork in the road?
Oh my God. That's awesome.
The path less traveled and see what would have happened.
Yeah,
so.
It's been really fun. We've been rehearsing it for about a month now. Or
yeah.
So, and we've been bringing people in, and they tell a story
great.
That they would rather do over. And so we get the real story, we improvise that, and then we do the improvised version of what it would be like if it went the other way.
Oh, that's fascinating. Yeah. That's really cool.
Erin came up with that, and she pitched it to us at rehearsal one day, and we were just like, Fuck yeah.
I think it'll be fun. And also, people have had an emotional response to it, which is cool. Like,
yeah.
To have something laugh and then also have something that's like, oh, that kind of hit a chord.
Right. Okay, so if you could pick yours, what would it be?
Oh, God.
I'm actually curious.
Never even thought of that. It's tough because honestly, every time I think of something I regret, there's something connected to it that I'm like, well, but if that didn't happen,
then this
wouldn't have happened.
Yeah.
There are times that I'm like, I wish right after college I just moved to LA instead of staying in Florida to do theater because I thought I would have, you know, credits then and then
equity.
Went to New York and then, you know, was figuring it out and then went to LA. Like, I should have just gone right after college to LA, but then I'm like, well, then I wouldn't have my same group of friends. I wouldn't be married to Mark. You know, like, you look at all that stuff and I'm like, well.
Right. Okay.
I don't know. So.
Lauren?
Can I say my marriage?
Yeah, absolutely. it's like Family Feud. Marriage is number one, I'm sure, on the board right now.
Yeah. Or probably more, though, the night I didn't skate with my crush at skate night when I was 8 years old.
That's a big one too.
Yeah. I broke his heart and I felt like an ass.
Oh.
Yeah, but you could have been pregnant at 8 years old then.
Right.
You don't even know.
You could find him on Facebook and send him a message.
There was this one time we were together and there was skates.
Yeah. It was summer. It wasn't
I was
me.
Just going to say, skated with summer instead. That bitch.
What about you, if you could go back?
Well, I was one of the first ones to try it out, and I picked a story where I had eaten a questionable chicken Caesar wrap before going on a long road trip with a big caravan of people, and shat my pants.
That's a big one.
So
yeah.
I had wanted to do that over and not do that.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. Okay. Yeah. So
mine was
your marriage,
more physical.
Your marriage, coming to LA sooner.
Yeah.
Not shitting your pants on a road trip.
The stories range between big life moments and small things that you just wish weren't on the docket.
Yeah.
Oh my
what
gosh.
Would you pick?
I don't know. Do I have to come up with this for tonight for rehearsal?
Yeah, that's what I emailed to you and explained to you.
Right? No, I never got an email.
Oh, you're right. You didn't.
I'm just going to have to jump in and yes and it.
This is the prep. This is the prep we're doing right now. Is but don't tell us. But yes, pick a moment. It doesn't need to be funny. Just something that where something specific happened that you're like, if I had done this and instead of done that, then maybe my life would be totally different. And I'd be wildly successful.
Okay. All right. And so I got to come up with that for tonight. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting.
It can be something super small. Like, we've had people tell like really simple stories.
Yeah.
Or it could be something like really big, like in terms of a relationship or something like that.
Yeah.
Mm.
But if it's a relationship thing, just try to pick a specific moment as opposed to, regret this whole.
Right.
Yes.
The entire thing.
10-year relationship.
Because we can't improvise your entire 10-year relationship.
Yeah.
Or can we?
It's going to be a long night, guys. A
lot of crying. That's great. Okay. So that kind of leads us into this. We do a lot of like dating relationship stuff on this podcast. You obviously, I know you're married to one of my best friends. What is y'all's relationship status right now?
Divorced,
okay.
A divorcee.
Underground mole.
Yes, those are all acceptable answers. Those are all. So I have a couple of things that we can do here before we get at it, because we got to go to rehearsal here in a second. But I love saying that, you guys. I'm one of the gals today.
You're a Duchess.
You're a Duke.
So I have what I thought was really cool, and this is I'll let y'all pick. Okay.
Okay.
There's an article about six ways your bartender, waiter, or waitress can tell how your date's going.
Ah, yes.
Or I have an article. It says we've asked a bunch of guys what they hate about texting, and here's what they said. That you guys like that one?
I like that one.
Okay.
I kind of like that one. All right. Because, I mean, Aaron and I were servers. So
yeah.
We kind of know the kind of
right,
news.
Yeah. You guys get it. All right.
So what, can you repeat it? Sorry.
No. Yeah. So the article is basically what guys hate about texting. So things that y'all do, that women do, that annoy guys, according to a survey.
Right.
Before we get into, is there anything in texting that you guys like, dislike? Is there anything you do that you kill it at? Is there anything that you think that you could be better at? Before I read this.
I mean, I'm fairly quick to respond, so
okay.
There's a good thing.
Being too available,
right? Yeah. Yes,
that is why I'm a mole woman.
See, if mine would be as a comedian, like firing something off that I think is super hilarious, tonality, sarcasm right. doesn't translate, lost, and then yeah. you have to send the y'all was kidding, by the way.
Yeah. Right.
The
yeah.
follow up. A yeah. JK text.
Yeah. Yeah. The thing that, I like sending jokes and whatnot, but the thing that I look for is if they can respond to it. Mm-hmm. And if they don't, I'm like, okay, no, I'm so dry right now.
Okay. Right. Yeah. So if it. So,
wow.
So when you're texting with a guy back and forth and he's able to keep up and make you laugh, that's yes. like, that keeps you that keeps you non-dry.
Yes.
Okay, good. Good. Because that's probably important for you as an improviser and someone who's very quick on their feet and has to yeah. be, just dive right in it and someone who, that's a great thing
dive
with texting
right
though. Yeah, dive right in. Yeah. That's a great thing with texting though because you can take a second.
Yeah.
And you can be like, all right, you know, I could come up with a funny response
timely
manner.
Are you game? Like, are you game with this?
Yes.
Like, whatever the game's throwing out. Like, if,
yeah.
That's, I think that's also a major turn on.
The worst thing for dudes, though, is when the iMessage started doing it. So you can see us typing and then taking away, like, back and forth. Cause, like, all right, I'm going to respond with something funny. No, that's not funny. Delete it. And then it's like, shit, she can see this now.
That does annoy me, though. That, that like, oh, I'm about to type, but no.
Right.
I'm
but
not.
No. That's yeah.
like, why didn't you ever type?
Yeah. Right. All right. So let's do this and see if you guys. Okay. So a Match.com survey on texting found that the battle of the sexes might finally have found some common ground. Turns out that 59% of guys and girls don't want to be inundated with texts after a date and or before they get a chance to reply. And when it comes to the work day, less is definitely more. Mm-hmm. Plus 45% of dudes don't want to be bothered with a message when they're on the clock. But women, notorious for multitasking, seem to balance the work day and steamy conversation just fine.
That's true. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep. So with that aside, what do guys really think about having full-on conversations without ever really saying a word? Is bearing your vital soul through the tips of your fingers a burden dudes fear? Or is it burdens dudes bear? Or is it the best way to know a girl? We ask the men of our lives to spill on what they love, hate, and really don't understand when it comes to texting. So number one, please, for the love of God, stop with the emojis is number one, which I disagree with so much.
Yeah.
I love, I'm also a fucking kid though. So I love typing with, you know, I send the black fist all the time. You know what I mean? The wet emoji.
Not
I send
to call
all the
her out, but my boss does it. And I think it's hilarious.
Mark just never even responds when I do the like the bitmoji
yes.
where it's like the whole cartoon uh-huh. and I send it to Mark and he just like will not even respond. He is like, I made him his and he won't even use it. Yeah.
Guys might be visual, but that doesn't mean they want to stare at text after text of baby penguins and bears. my boyfriend who's 28 revealed that when it comes to text etiquette, he can't stand a girl who's too expressive. Too many emojis just kills a conversation and definitely my interest. He says it's hard enough to trying to interpret what a girl is saying, let alone when she's using pigs and cactus and pink kills.
Oh my God.
But
you know, in my mind I'm just like, well, how is he gonna react when he has children? How is he gonna talk to them?
Eggplant. I like it when the emojis like tell a story, but like if it, I don't know, sometimes they can get confusing.
We have a funny story. So about emojis. So Bumble, you know, Bumble came out recently. And
yeah.
It's the girl who hits up the guy first. And she sent our guy friend a chessboard. And she said, your move. And he was all, and this was in emojis. She's all, your move. And he was all, I don't play games. End of conversation.
I would have loved if someone would have hit me like that.
I thought it was hysterical, but a lot of our girlfriends were like, that would turn me off so hard. Like that.
Super dry down there.
Man, yeah. See, I think I would like that. I would appreciate a good challenge.
Wait, so the guy sent it to her?
No, so it's Bumble, so the girl always has to initiate the conversation.
She's married.
So
she doesn't
know. I'm sorry.
I don't know about Tinder or Bumble. Yeah.
I don't do any online dating. That's why I'm a mole woman. and so she sent the chessboard and was like, your move.
Oh, okay.
Setting up the
trying
game.
To be playful. Yeah.
Yeah. And then he sent back, I don't play games.
Right.
Ugh.
Which I thought was hilarious.
Yeah, he screwed up.
I see both sides of the coin.
Yeah.
But I would want.
You would want the guy who would.
I want a yes and to my chessboard.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a tone sarcasm thing because he'd be like, if he was like smiling like Art of Charm style, like I don't play games, you know, then it's like, oh, okay, you're flirting. Or it could just be like, I don't play games.
Right.
You know, like, and you're like, oh, come on.
Yeah, that's why the voice to text thing is becoming popular now. So you go, I don't play games.
Yeah.
Okay, number two, stop driving us crazy by asking so many questions. Ryan, who's 27, is sick of the 21 question games via text. For starters, this isn't an interrogation. It's texting. I don't know what I'm doing later or what I'm doing on Sunday for brunch, or I don't have any, I don't know where I'm going for the summer. I'll know when I get there.
So what are we supposed to, like, I'm dating right now. I'm dating, sure. But yeah, not with anyone. So what am I supposed to do? Like,
I think the questions, I think the questions is more of when you, I think texting is to set up logistics.
Yeah.
Here's where we're going to meet. Here's the location. Here's the time. And then the questions comes when you're in conversation. Because I don't think there's anything worse than when knowing everything about somebody via text. And then when you get there, you have nothing to ask them because you've already talked via text.
Yeah.
That actually makes sense. I always hated, like, when I was trying to plan something with a guy that I was dating, and they would just be like, I don't know, like I just want to, like, see how it goes. Like, well, I have to logistically plan out if, like, if Saturday we're doing this, then I have to wait until that.
Yeah. No, I get it. So this one, save the questions for the actual date. Texting is for meetup and to kind of, you know, after you have a good date, shoot him a winky face emoji or something.
Eggplant.
An eggplant emoji with the squirt.
Yeah.
Number three things that guys hate is make sure you know who you're texting. Apparently, it's pretty common when girls send texts to guys that she means to send to other guys.
That sounds like a hoe.
Yeah.
I used to, like, straight up, I used to do that when I was, like, a young man, like, dating, playing the game. I would purposely send the wrong text to a girl I was interested in. Just real scumbag shit.
That's real scumbag.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. That was for somebody else. But it wasn't nothing, like, too sexual. It was just like, is he texting somebody else also? Yeah.
Playing games.
Yeah, I know.
I
don't play games.
Did that ever work?
Sometimes they would let it go via text, and then you'd meet up with them like, so who was the other text for? And it would be like a running thing. Like, are you sure you're going to text the right person this time? And I'm like, you thought about this.
I didn't realize that negging was such a huge, like, dating thing now.
It's been huge before there was a name for it. Negging invented when we would pull your hair at the goddamn playground. You know what I mean?
Yep. Or not skating with someone.
Or not skating. You negged the shit out of that poor kid.
Yep.
This one I don't agree with. Number four, don't overuse your slang, Kay.
Very true.
I love it. I've had conversations where I literally talk in whatevs, totes.
Well, that's fine, but like there was this white guy I was talking to. He's like, "Yo, what up, girl? What you want to do tonight?"
I love it. And I love that shit. That is me
100%.
Yeah. Yo, you down to eat or what? That's what it says. It says it's a big turnoff when a girl tries to be more street or thug than she really is. I personally think it's adorable, but dudes aren't into it.
I guess that's a preference thing.
Yeah. Number five, stick to the 2 to 4 text rule before we respond. That's huge. That is huge. No matter what you think, there are rules when it comes to texting, and guys aren't afraid to spell them out for us. Without responding, I would definitely say my limit is 4 to 5 texts. I don't know what you're saying, but I'm pretty sure 99% of the time you can wait for me to respond.
Yeah.
So,
I agree with that.
That seems desperado.
Yeah.
I think it's like sometimes we'll see it or sometimes we won't even see it. And there's nothing worse than like you're looking down and you have like 6 texts and you're like, oh my God. Like it's just stressful.
Right. Well, and I think especially when I was in my young 20s, if I didn't hear from someone like immediately, I was like, fuck, they're dead or they don't like me.
That's where your brain went, that they were dead?
Dead first.
Yeah. Dead first, then they don't like me.
What kind of moron?
But like,
I'm wearing a hat.
Later 20s, and I'm just tired now.
Yeah.
So I forget that I send a text.
Right.
Yeah.
So number six, and this is the last one too. Understand that we're nervous too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So sweet.
Surprise. Guys are a lot like girls. They get nervous. They overanalyze and definitely ask their friends if they should respond right away or if make you sweat it out a bit. I don't like to say too much in text messages. Phil28 says, I usually say 1 or 2 word responses, just enough to keep them interested without giving away too much. I'll admit it. I want to come off as mysterious. It sounds so cheesy, saying it out loud though.
No, that's not cheesy. Yeah. I think everyone wants a little mystery in their lives.
Yeah.
Mystery. For sure.
You need it. I mean, it's funny because I always try to engage my husband in like a little sexting, and he just will not. He just
he won't
like,
have
no.
it?
No.
Really?
It's really weird. Like, because he's not like, I mean, he'll talk dirty behind closed doors, but no. Like, I'll just be like, hey, when you get home later, and like, blah, 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 something. And he'll just be like,
kay.
Okay. Yeah, like he'll just be like, okay, whatever. See,
black
like
fist.
Totally see Mark yeah. doing it. Yeah, black fist.
Black fist.
Yeah, I feel like he'll just be like, he just like shakes it off. Like I'll just be like, okay, are you drunk or something? You know, and I'm like, no. Yeah.
Are you drunk? Yeah. It's noon. Yes. At a kettle martini. Oh, that's amazing. Oh, so yeah, you touched on that briefly, the Art of Charm thing. You guys...
Yeah, and actually Lauren does also from time to time. Now okay. we've brought her into the fold.
Nice.
And,
explain.
The vagina fold.
We don't go down that route, Lauren.
Yeah.
Art of Charm, we've had Jordan Harbinger on the show before. Mm-hmm. Big fan of that company. People actually email us asking about it and how they can... It's all on their website and stuff. But how did you guys get involved in that? Well, I mean, what is your role with them now?
Yeah, my role with them now is I teach a improv class there and also do video work with them. So basically the guys are there, you know, for the full week and they want to get better at a bunch of different communication strategies, but one of them being like their 90-second approach to
Which
women in a bar. So basically just trying to approach a woman in a bar or some whatever setting you would meet someone in. So basically having something to banter about, giving them a statement about them that's like a compliment that's not like I like your shirt, you know, like something that's actually meaningful. Like
so
giving
the 90
them value.
Seconds is the most important.
I would say yeah. I mean, definitely because I mean, ladies, am I right? Like in the first 90 seconds, you know whether you're interested in this person or not.
Yeah, yeah.
There, I mean, you can have your mystery, but if you're wearing a cloak and
like looking you deep into your eyes,
yeah,
they won't let your gaze go. It's like, okay, no, not too much.
Yeah,
okay.
Body language, eye contact, all of that stuff is stuff they learn, and it's really interesting from Tuesday to Saturday because Tuesday, it's Suzanne usually does the video work on Tuesday, which God bless her, she likes it better, and I'm always like, sometimes it's a little intense for me because.
And explain the video work.
So they're just we do interactions with them, 90-second interactions. Now the classes are 10 guys. So it's 10 guys. They go through twice just like to practice and then they get videotaped once while they do that. So they watch it back.
Videotaped?
Yeah. So then they watch it back.
So guys come from all around the world. They come to Hollywood. They sign up with the Art of Charm because they want to get better with women and social skills and everything. And so they approach you in the classroom setting. Mm-hmm. They approach y'all. And 90 seconds, they film it, and then you guys watch it back together.
Yeah, and give them, like, pointers. And,
how much
do
they squirm?
Some of the guys, have a really hard time watching
I can't even watch my goddamn stand-up videos after I get off stage. Yep. I could imagine watching me trying to hit on a chick in a classroom in front of a bunch of other dudes.
I would die.
Oh, my God.
My theater reel or whatever, is, the most painful thing in the world, but, watching me flirt with someone, I would be just go back into that hill.
Go back under the sea. Go back underground.
Yeah, don't ever come.
But it's
out.
So great because they do it twice in the 1 week, so they can see how much in 1 week they improve so exponentially that it's amazing. And they just are like by Friday they're like, hey, what's going on? And bantering, and they're just it's amazing.
Wow.
So on Thursdays you teach the improv class and I've stepped in a couple times. It's really cool that we get to teach these guys improv skills and they can really be applied to anything in life.
Yeah.
It's not just performing.
Yeah, definitely.
It makes you feel really comfortable.
Oh, that's so – yeah, that's cool. So, okay, so well, let me ask you this. As a former beauty pageant, a beautiful woman, you're at a bar, 90 seconds, guy walks in. What works for you? What do you want to hear?
Humor.
Yeah?
And
define humor, though. So you're at a bar getting a drink and I walk up next to you and I'm like, hey, did – two Jews walk into a bar. That's not defined humor in that situation.
Well, basically, I want someone to make fun of me.
I looked up. I thought I'd see something horrible up there.
Yeah.
Like, if I'm drinking whiskey, a guy comes up to me. He's like, so you're drinking whiskey. What are you, a dude? And I'm like, oh, okay. All right. Do you want to go? And then if I can verbally spar with him and he can keep up with me, then I'll be like, all right.
Okay.
And then I look at your shoes.
Shoes. Wow. Yeah. What everything says, but you never really hear that like in real life. Like all the articles online say the shoes, but you never actually hear that. That's a big thing, huh?
Yeah. I mean, it's not a big thing. Yeah. It's just, I don't know. I like shoes.
Okay.
Everyone's different, which is that's what's awesome about it. Because when the guys do negging on me, like if they start with that, I'm like, you know what? Go fuck yourself. You came up to me. You came up and started talking to me and blah, blah, blah. But it's so funny because like I've asked Mark. So I'm like, they say this line will work. And he's like, oh, yeah, that works. And
yeah.
I'm like,
yeah.
He's like, not on you, but it works. Trust right. me. I'm like, wow.
Well, if I get like negging or anything like that, I get like challenged back and I like start to bare my teeth and like, yeah. and I start to just rip into the person, which is not a good way to flirt. I know this, yeah. but like, I don't know. Like if anybody like approached me with like a negging perspective or whatever, I would like knock them out verbally.
So yes, no, no.
Yeah.
So what for you,
what
would work for you?
I honestly just like a normal, I don't know, like,
no,
it really is.
Like, you're at a bar getting a drink and a guy walks up and like, isn't the weather beautiful today?
Okay. Not like that kind of normal.
So dry as Laura
would
put it.
No, it's usually like, if it's, no, if it's usually like, I don't know if they like notice something, like if it's like a commentary on like something that's happening in the bar or
okay.
something
so
that's
situational.
Happening around. And it's just kind of like, you know, that thing where you're standing in line and someone leans over is just like, wow, this lady's had a bit too much or
right.
something. I don't know, like that's like an easy way for me to like, yeah, I know, like I can relate to that.
Sure.
And I can comment on that too. And
yeah.
then if we can banter well, then it's like
game on.
Yeah.
Is there any guys in the class that you're like, there's no hope, there's like, there's no way. Ugh. And then they turn it around?
Oh, I mean, definitely. I mean, now I've been with the company for like a year and a half. So
right.
I feel like now I know, I'm like, oh, they'll come around,
right.
you know.
Because the instructors like Johnny and all those guys are so good at what they do. I'm just like, I wonder, like when people come in, you're like, oh, I want to see, what magic are they going to work with this poor
dude? Yeah, yeah. I mean, but the thing is that it's, you don't have to all of a sudden then be Brad Pitt by the end. You know, like the
right.
most charming and
just
whatever.
Every day a button gets undone.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, when you, as long as you're making like leaps forward, it's also like they're giving you the skills to continue on and like
right.
work on yourself. So it's, you know, it's not just like by the end of the week, you're perfect.
Right.
you know?
Yeah. I used to sit in to my buddy's stand-up class and we would see mm-hmm. that a lot. There'd be a guy come in and you're like, there's no way. There's no way this guy's going to get to the graduation show. He's not funny,
yeah.
and then you give them the school, the tools and the skills, and they knock it out, and they're hilarious.
Yeah,
yeah. You're like, oh, that's amazing. So
yeah, I've always felt that anybody could be a stand-up comedian if they just tried.
Right? Yeah,
they just had a class. You're right.
Well, shout out to the Art of Charm. That's so, I'm so glad that you're still working with them, man.
Yeah,
that's great.
Awesome. So
we got to get out of here. We got rehearsal tonight, ladies. So we're going to wrap this up.
We got to go.
So go around. How can everybody find you guys specifically, and how can they find the Riot?
Well, Duchess Riot, www.duchessriot.com, and it's DUCHESSRIOT. And then me, I guess, erinmorosky.com.
Email her on her fan page also.
Yeah, yeah, also my fan page.
If you've seen her at Bean Flickers or what was it?
Bean snappers.
Beans, yeah, that's what it was.
I mean, it might as well be called Dick Breakers is what it sounds like. So, yeah.
Lauren, how can we find you?
LaurenHowardHayes.com.
Hayes with an ES.
Oh, Twitters and stuff. Hey Girl Hayes. H-E-Y-G-I-R-L.
I didn't know that was your Twitter.
That's pretty good.
Hey Girl Hayes.
I have a very long name. My name is Katie Elsesser. The last name is ELSAESSER. It's actually not that complicated.
Not bad.
But yeah, I'm Katie Elsesser on the interweb. I'm on Twitter, Katie Elsesser. You can also probably find me as El Sassy Pants. That's when I'm in on Steam. I think I'm on Steam as El Sassy
Pants.
What
is Steam?
It's a gamer.
Yeah.
She's, a, nerd. She's a gamer. No. And on Bumble.
Yeah, apparently you can find her on Bumble.
No. Sorry, you can't find me on any dating app.
send her a chess emoji.
A chest emoji?
Yeah, that too.
Yeah.
And then your shows are every the first Friday of the month?
Yeah, now like go to our website because we're
going
to be doing 3 shows a month now. We'll have our short form show, our Riot Rewind, and our Diet Riot sketch show. So, yeah.
And you guys are so funny. I love every time I get a chance to come see you guys. You guys are so hilarious.
Aww,
and
thank
best
you.
Of luck Thanks. To you. For our show, visit us online, FossilPodcast.com. Subscribe to Fossil Podcast on iTunes. Visit us on Facebook. Visit us on Twitter. And for my stand-up tour dates, JustinComic.com. And we'll see you guys next week.
Thank you for listening to Foster the Podcast.